With that, we will turn to Dr. Teresa Albin, and kind of maybe before we get to what we're really going to talk about, Dr. Albin, is what is the policy when it's kids sick with the flu? I mean, do they have to have a doctor's note to come back, or do we have a policy that states, hey, look, because of this flu season, you know, if your kid has the flu, just keep them home?
Well, we always encourage parents to keep their children home when they're sick. And our health room assistants will talk to them about, you know, 24 hours, fever three, things like that. But really, it's the discretion of the parent that we have to rely on.
Yeah. All right. Well, first of all, thank you for joining us this morning. I do appreciate it. Kind of want to get to what we were talking about yesterday and what has been talked about here recently with Frederick County Public Schools, and that is this incident that happened at a high school basketball game, girls basketball game, which, by the way, WFMD was broadcasting the game, and I was listening to the audio of that game at the end. I didn't hear anything, but then again, we're not picking up every little sound and nuance of the game. We, you know, kind of focus on the announcers. So has the school system wrapped up their investigation?
Not completely. And Bob, I think part of the issue is that it seems like everything kind of got very intense, and in the words of two of the Linganore High School basketball girls, exploded at the end of the game. And that's when I think a lot of things happened. So one of the things that we've had, multiple accounts of a disrespectful label being directed towards the Frederick High team. And obviously that's the one thing that, you know, I've talked to both student bodies about, I've talked to our athletic directors and all about that. You know, we can't ignore those things. People are saying, well, shouldn't the person have been thrown out of the game or whatever? We can't identify who that person was. We have tried to watch, you know, video of the game. This was right at the end, a lot of people moving, a lot of things happening. There's also an allegation of some sort of interaction, an inappropriate interaction between the two coaches right there at the end of the game. And that's the piece that we're still trying to investigate and unpack so we can determine next steps from there.
Well, and obviously if you listen to social media and you read some of the comments that were left on the FMP site, you'll see they said, he said, she said, they said, whatever. And, you know, one young person was like, hey, look, I was being accused of something and I didn't do it. And there's no proof that says I did. You look at there's videotape. You can't see anything. And I'm being accused and that kind of stuff didn't happen. I'm hearing different things being said that it was, you know, and it's kind of hard to get to the bottom of this. And then so the question is, is this being overblown by just by the today's standards of you know, the cause of racism in our country lately? Or is there something really there that we should really be looking into?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. There are so many different interpretations and accounts of what happened, what didn't happen. For me, as a school system, there are two issues we really need to address. Number one, we have multiple accounts saying this happened. We have a board policy that says this is not acceptable. You know, there's not to be any bullying, harassment, or intimidation based on, and they list every characteristic from race to gender to gender identity to, you know, religion. And so I felt, as a school system, it's very important that we say, these are the standards we uphold. This is not acceptable behavior. Quite honestly, relieved that it was a spectator. And I've heard, you know, that the Linganore's girls team, you know, nothing came from them. That's really important to me because we want our students to be good sports. But I also want, you know, even our spectators to think about the fact that you're there to cheer for your team, not to disparage another team. And we have emphasized sportsmanship so much with the formation of the Central Maryland Conference, the videos that we have put out. So I think it was relevant to say and remind everyone, we will not accept this. I think that's an important message.
Absolutely. We'll talk more with Dr. Teresa Albin coming up on the Morning News Express, Free Talk 930 WFMD. But first,
9:30 WFMD.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Teresa Allman of the Frederick County Public School System. She is the superintendent of Frederick County Public Schools. So, Dr. Allman, you know, you said you had a few more things to look at. We keep hearing, well, we can't really comment about what's going on. Will there be a moment where we'll hear everything laid out? Will there be, in your opinion, any kind of ramifications, any kind of punishments, or is that just something that you don't think can happen now?
Well, again, we have to investigate the reports of an interaction between the two coaches that was inappropriate. And because that becomes a personnel decision, we cannot, you know, release a statement saying, you know, was there discipline involved? What happened? However, you know, I think it's important that we try to get to the bottom of that, because again, it comes back to sportsmanship, and these coaches are supposed to be modeling for their athletes, you know, how do you behave when you've had an intense, outstanding competition, you've given it your all on the court, you know, how do you then have that game end in a respectful and sportsmanlike way? And so that's the piece that, you know, the team has to continue to investigate. But as you said, it's really hard if you don't actually have video footage, because the accounts are so different.
Yeah.
Coming from all different sorts of people.
Yeah, absolutely. But with that being said, there was an article in the paper a while back about the disparagement, and maybe that's the wrong word, but that black students are getting suspended more than white students, and or minority students are getting suspended more than white students. Is those numbers that you guys come up with? And if so, I mean, how do we combat that? Because I always feel, I mean, I've been suspended from school. I got suspended for fighting. Dave Marple suspended me for fighting in school. I deserved it. Got home, and, you know, my dad was very upset, because he believes that I shouldn't be suspended. I should have just sat there and wrote a 5,000-word essay. He put me on a tractor. I plowed fields for 3 days. But the punishment, I mean, it fit the crime. So, I mean, that's, fighting was not allowed in school, and you got suspended for it. If somebody breaks the rules in school, should they be suspended? Should they not be suspended? And are we suspending black kids for things that they are doing and not suspending white kids for things that they're doing?
Well, we do have disproportionality. So we have to acknowledge that we see larger percentages of some of our minority students being suspended at higher rates than our non-minority students. And obviously that's something we continue to look at and try to focus on as a school system. But you are right. There are certain offenses that we say no matter what, you're going to get suspended. We need to keep schools safe. And so there are certain suspensions that are automatic. But there are others that are discretionary. And so in the last couple of years, we've had a discipline committee that looked at things in terms of, you know, trying to decide, as you said, for some things, you know, suspending the child is almost a reward.
Yeah.
You know, I've been acting out in school because I want to get out of here, and now you're sending me out. Thank you. That's no consequence. So how do we, and obviously our goal is to have everyone in school getting quality instruction. And so we've been doing some in-school, you stay in school, you're working, you know, on curriculum, you're still being taught, you just may not be in your regular classroom. And so we've been trying to look at alternatives to deal with inappropriate behavior that don't take it all the way to a suspension. But for certain instances, fighting, bring a weapon to school, drugs, et cetera, it's automatic, and you're just going to be suspended. There's no question about that.
Well, I mean, I don't know the report that I read, if there was any kind of, when you talk about discretionary suspensions, if there's, okay, so you have two kids who are of different races, but one, you know, one kid has more of a, I hate to say it, rap sheet. They've been in trouble more. So, yeah, they get suspended because it's, you know, three strikes and you're out type of deal, or they know that this is you know, how they can handle this particular student. If there is a disproportionate number of minority students getting suspended, then that has to fall on the administrator who is doing that. And if they are playing favorites, then that has to be dealt with by you, and you have to make changes in the administration.
Correct. And sometimes it's not just the administration, it's also what is a teacher's tolerance? You know, at what point is a teacher deciding this is disrespectful, but another teacher might say, no, that's not worth referring a kid to the office. So when you have, you know, 3,000 teachers, you're going to have some inconsistencies, and you're going to have to kind of work on case by case, trying to help people sort of unpack the decisions they're making. And as I said, we have been really trying to focus on this for the last couple of years, in, you know, doing a lot more with positive behavior intervention. You know, give people the attention when they're doing the things that are right, so they don't try to seek attention by doing the things that are wrong. And at our high school level, it's really about creating culture in the classroom. And there have been a lot of proven strategies that we're trying to help our teachers work through and navigate with our high school kids. But, you know, it is a challenge.
Can that challenge be dealt with maybe getting outside eyes? I mean, a lot of times I feel, and I'm not the only one who feels this way, is that the school system kind of circles the wagons, takes care of themselves. Would it be better to have outside eyes, like the president of the NAACP, Willie Mahone, and you know, other leaders of the community, to take a look at what's going on with this, look at the numbers, see what's going on? Is that something that you would be agreeable to?
I know that Mr. Mahone had made that request of our Board of Education, and I'm sure that's something we'll be talking about with them. That may be, you know, a way to go, and to have those kind of dialogues with our teachers and our administrators. That's part of what has been, as I said, we had a couple of high school pilots that were working with a group coming out of the state to take a look at those things with us. So, yeah, outside eyes can help.
Dr. Therese Sullivan, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Sure thing, Bob, and I think we have some actual dates worked out now, so I can come in and chat.
Yes, we'll have more, and we'll talk budget, we'll talk other things. There's lots to talk about with you, so hopefully we'll get you in, and I would like to get you in before that Tim and Frank show in the afternoon.
All right, will do.
Thank you. Have a great day. It's the Morning News Express, 8:43. I know we're way over time. Sorry about that, Diana Gibson, but let's get a look.